Okay, we're Memchas Amid Beis. About 15 lines from the end of the page. After Gemara says, Tiyufta de Kula Tiyufta. Okay, the Gemara was just discussing when the husband gives over, the father gives her over to the shluchim of the husband, and can she eat truma, can she not eat truma, does she get inheritance and all that. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. The Gemara quoted a braisa before that says like this. If the husband, the father went with the shluchim of the Baal, or the shluchim av went with the shluchim of the Baal, either the father went with the husband's shluchim, or the father's shluchim went with the shluchim. Okay? And they went into sleep. She and her chosin went into sleep overnight. So he says, she's still connected to the father because they didn't go in to get married. They didn't, in other words, they didn't live together. They just went to sleep, because they were traveling on the way.
Okay,
but they
did. 48B3?
Yeah, 48B3. Mm-hmm. Second column. But they didn't do it actually because they wanted to get them married. They just did it because they just wanted to sleep. Then at the end, of the same braisa, it says, "Nichna se'imei l'shum nesuin." What happens if she went in for marriage? So then the husband gets everything. And as if they went in just to sleep, the father still remains in charge. If they went in to get married in the hotel on the way, so then the husband gets it. But the Gemara asks, the braisa contradicts itself. It says like this, "Hogu fekasha." The Baisa contradicts itself. The beginning says like this. Nichna se'imei lolin. She went with her husband to rest overnight, not to get married, no chuppah. Right? They're going home to get married, right? With the shluchim. So time, the only reason why it's still the father's, because lolin, they went to sleep. Hostama, if they just went in with no intent, not for marriage, not for sleeping, we assume l'shem nisuin, that it was for marriage. Then look at the Sefer. It says, Nichna se'imei l'shem nisuin. If they went in for marriage, then the husband gets everything. Right? Which implies, Hastama, if it wasn't, for any intent whatsoever, it's lulled in to sleep. In other words, the Gemara asks a very simple question. The first half of the Braisa says, if they went in just to sleep, then the father gets everything still. She's still with the father. Which means if they went in without any intent whatsoever, then the husband would get it. Second half of the Bais is if they went in for marriage, then the husband gets it. Which means if they went in stam, no reason, the father would get it. So it's contradicting itself. One place means if they went in plain, the father gets it. One place means if they went in plain, the father gets it, which the husband gets it. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi is very similar. Stam is stomach tani. No, it's not a contradiction. What he means is like this. Stam chotze dida, if it's her courtyard, right, her courtyard, lolin, we can assume they just went there to sleep. Stam chotze diday, if it's the husband's courtyard, then we can assume that they went in to get married. In other words, like this, they're traveling along the way, from the girl's house to the chosin's house. Yeah, so the chosin's with them. So if they went in to sleep in her courtyard, then we assume they didn't do it to get married. But if they did it in his courtyard, the husband's courtyard, then we're going to assume they wanted to get married. Okay, this is a new story. Tana is a new din. Tana, we learned in a braisa like this. Masir av l'shluchi abal. What happens if now remember we learned like this. From Edison, if a girl is mezana, she commits adultery, she gets skila. Remember we learned. If she had kedushin only, and she committed adultery, she gets stoned. If she was married, she only gets chenek. Remember we learned that before. Now, what happens, the Gemara says like this. Maser ha'av, l'shluchi abal, the husband, she didn't get married yet, but the husband gave over the father gave over his daughter to the messengers of the husband. Okay? and then she committed adultery on the way. No, there was Kedushin before. Remember, 12 months earlier, they did the Kedushin, right? Now, they're going to the Chuppah. So they live in a different city. So the father is sending his daughter to the Chosin's place. Either with the Shluchim of the Chosin, or the whatever it is, right? So we said before, that's partially Chuppah, that the husband is out of the picture. The question is that the same din if she committed adultery? They didn't have a chuppah yet. The chuppah they're going to have later when they get to the destination of the chosin. But along the way, she committed adultery. Is she considered married already that she would get chenek? Or is she considered only kedushin that she would get skila?
Why should you consider it in the same?
Because we said before that once the father gives her over to the chosin shluchim, he's out of the picture. So now the question is that only monetary things? Or does that only mean, does it mean that she's taka married? That's the question. so it says in the Braisa like this. Maser av l'shluchi abal, if the husband gave him over to the shluchim of the husband, Vizinsa, and she committed adultery, Harezu b'chenik. She's gonna get chenik. Okay? Instead of getting stoned, she's gonna get choked. Chenik. Like a married woman. So Gemara said, Minohani Mili. Where do we learn this out from? Luchesh, she's not married yet. Financially, the husband gave her over, right? So therefore, financially, she belongs to the husband. But the bottom line is, they didn't get married yet. So why is she getting, if she commits adultery, why is she getting the punishment, like marriage of chenek, why isn't she getting skila? So the Gemara answer, we learned out from a pasuk. Amar Avami Bachoma, it says in the pasuk, Lizne's Beis Aviyam. When does she get stoning? When she did it in her father's house. But she's not in the father's house anymore, right? Prat lemaser av l'shluch habal, when the girl's father sent her off with the shluchim of the husband, she's not in the house anymore. So therefore she's considered even, in other words, when the Torah says lizneis beis avia, that she gets skila for kedushim when she commits adultery, that's when she's only beis avia, when she's in the father's house. But if the father sent her with the shluchim, so then the dinner, she gets chenek, even though she's not married yet. So it says, no, maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it means nichnas l'chupa v'lei nivala. Maybe the pasuk is trying to teach us that if a girl had chupa, yeah, and before she had a chance to be, this is an interesting case. A girl got married, yeah, the night of the wedding, before she lived with her husband, she committed adultery.
Oh boy.
Somebody else.
With somebody else. So maybe that's what the pasuk is teaching us. Ask him.
She liked him.
Maybe that's what the pasuk is teaching us.
Why is it Beit Avia at the father's house?
Yeah, but maybe that excludes. How do you know it excludes sending the girl with the shluchim? Maybe it means that if the girl was married, had chuppah, and she didn't live with her husband yet, maybe that's what Beit Avia excludes. Rava says, Amali Ami Ravami told me like this. Chupa behed yiksiva. Okay? A girl, the father's house cannot exclude chupa. Why? Because it says, Ki ni yiya naira besula meirosalish. If there'll be a virgin girl that's engaged to somebody. In betroth, not the kedushin. Naira means not a bagetis. Psula, not a bu'ula, not a virgin. Mu'urasa, v'lei nesua. Lepel, the girl's married already. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. Beis Avia does not have to exclude that a girl that got married and wasn't with her husband yet and she committed adultery, she gets chenek. Because that the pasuk says clearly. When does she get skila? When she only had kedushin. But if she was nesua, if she was married, she's gonna get chenek. So it doesn't mean anything. So Gemara says like this, and the Gemara just continues the proof. My nesua. Ilema nesua mamish. Meaning unto the chuppah and the marriage was consummated. Then haina psula v'leibula. That's a virgin and not a girl that lived with already. Alalav, so we must say, what does that pasuk conclude? Nichnasa l'chuppah. She went to the chuppah. V'lei nivala. And she didn't live with the guy yet. And then she'll still get chenik. So the Gemara says like this. Bottom line, if a girl had kedushin, and the father sent her with the shluchim of the husband, even if she didn't have chuppah yet, and she committed adultery, she's gonna get chenik, like a married woman. Where? Because we learned it out, Lizne is based on Via. The only time a girl gets skila, it's in, if she's in her father's house. Once he sends her out with the shluchim of the husband, she's gonna get chenik.
Skila is even harsher, right?
Yeah. That we discussed with the seemingly not making sense. A girl that only had kedushin, right, and committed adultery gets skila, which is the worst of capital punishments. A girl that was mamish married and commits adultery, she only gets chenik, which is the least of the four. So it doesn't make sense. So the Gemara explains, we learned in Sanhedrin, the Gemara explains, because the girl, when she had kedushin, embarrasses the father too. Not only is she embarrassing herself, but she's still connected to the father, so she's embarrassing the father. So the punishment is worse, yeah. So the punishment is worse.
Huh?
That's what the Gemara said there.
Where's this guy tonight?
Huh?
Is he in the holy land too?
I don't know. Okay, so now the Gemara asks this question like this. Maybe the din is only if the girl went back to her father's house. So maybe it means like this. Maybe it means that if a girl was sent away with the father, and she goes back home in the middle, she changes her mind. Girl had kedushin, yeah? Months later, the father's sending her with the shluchim of the husband to get married. And on the way back, she changes her mind and comes back home. Maybe that's what Lizne's base of Via comes to exclude. Amarava, no, that's already clear. Why? That the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel already told us. The Tanid Ve Rabbi Shmuel, the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, learned the following. It says by nullifying the vows, right? V'neder almona ugrusha, the vow of a widow or a divorcee. Kol asher osra al nafsho yokum aleha. Whatever she makes a vow, she has to keep. In other words, like this. A girl, the father can nullify the vow. A wife, the husband can nullify the vow the day he hears it, right? So then the pasuk says, what happens if she's a widow or a divorcee? No husband, no father. Right? So then she has to keep all the vows. So the Gemara says, Ma'al Tamalem, what's it teaching us? Of course they're binding. Halimutz is mechal av and mutz is mechal bal. There's no husband and there's no father. So of course there are vows. Why shouldn't there be vows? In other words, why would I think that there is no vow? She has no father to nullify it. She has no husband to nullify it. So of course the vow is there.
This is a different scenario.
Well, speaking about the vows, not about anything else. Right?
There he is.
So Gemara says, Elo, what's the case? When is this pasuk referring to? In other words, like this. Let's explain very simply. The Torah says, a woman makes a vow, the father nullifies the vow. A married woman makes the vow, the husband can nullify the vow, right? Then the pasuk says, any vow of a widow or a divorcee stays. Right? So the obvious question is, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that? Of course. There's no husband, right? Because she's divorced or widowed. There's no father because once she gets married, she's out of the father. Why would I think that there is no vow. Of course it's a, why do I need a pasuk to tell me there's a, she has to keep the vows? Why would I think there's no vows? Right? What do I need a pasuk for? So Gemara says, it teaches us a unique case. Elam, the case is like this. Top of Memtes. 5-6 lines down. Ella, what's the case? Shamasir av l'shluchi abal. The father sent the girl with the shluchim of the husband to get married. Or shamasir shluchi av l'shluchi abal. Or the messengers of the father went with the messengers of the husband. What happened? V'nisam ala baderach einis garsha. She became widowed on the way. Before she got to the husband died. Or she got a divorce.
Or the father died.
Huh?
Or the father died.
No. The father's still alive. Now the question is like this. Eichani Kerdaba. What verse applies to that girl? Okay, you have a funny scenario. The father sent the girl to get married. She got divorced or widowed before she got married, but she left the father's house. So what status does that girl have?
Yeah, what's that?
Married.
It's not here, it's not there. Yeah.
Is she widowed?
That's what Gemara says.
She was never married.
Eichani Korba, what applies? Beis Aviya Shelzu, it left the father's household, but she didn't go to the husband yet. Or Beis Baila Shelzu, or is it the house of the husband? Which one is it? She's really no father and no husband.
If there is no husband, there still is a father. The husband died.
But
the
once it turns over to the messengers, the father...
But the father gave her over to the messengers.
To the husband's messengers.
That's Elulei Melach. This is what the Pasuk is teaching us, Gemara says. Kivin Sheyotze Sha'achos Meshuvav. Once the girl leaves the father's jurisdiction for 1 minute... Ain't a yochla for the father cannot annul a vow, even if she comes home. So the father cannot annulify her vow. Once he sends her away, right? Even if they didn't get married yet, he sends her with the shluchim of the husband. The husband's out of the picture. I mean, the father's out of the picture.
With the shluchim of the husband.
Right.
Not with his shluchim.
No, right. With the shluchim of the husband, because his shluchim are him. Right, correct. So then the din is that the father cannot nullify her vows.
Return, no?
Huh?
He can do return and does it.
No, he can't.
Why not?
So that's what the pasuk says. And the husband can't because either he's dead or divorced her.
Yeah.
So that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk that the Gemara quoted before, Neida Almanu Grusha, Kol Asher Asher Nafshi Yokum Alav. Where do we find the case of Neidar Almanu Grusha?
In this case.
That we need a chiddush to teach me that. Right? Because just to tell me a case, a widow and a divorcee has to keep her vows. It's obvious. There's nobody to nullify it. Not a husband, not a father. Okay? So what's the chiddush of the pasuk, Gemara says? So I'll tell you what the chiddush is. The father sends the girl with the shluchim. Yeah? So she left the father's house, but she really didn't get to the husband's, yes. And then the guy died or divorced her. So then the pasuk says, this girl cannot nullify the vows, cannot be nullified by the father. Because the father's out. Right?
Okay.
The father cannot, because once she left the father's rishus, even for a minute, the father cannot do anything anymore. The fact that he sent her with the shluchim of the husband, he's out of the picture.
Okay, so let's say the husband died. What is he going to do? She's going to go back to her father's house. Okay?
He can't nullify her vow.
No. Let's say she go as a widow to her father's house, right?
Right.
So can the father marry her against her will?
No.
Not anymore?
No.
Out of picture once... That's it?
Once the father marries her off, or in our case, he sends her with the shluchim of the Baal, the father is out of the picture, completely.
From that point forward.
That's very liberal.
Why
is it liberal?
Because the whole reason that doesn't apply. What is the reason that the father can marry her even against her will? Because he wants to protect her. That's what we talked about before. Remember?
It doesn't matter. Once a girl leaves the father and gets married, and the guy dies or divorces her, even though she didn't even have chuppah yet. It was just in from the kedushin, yeah? But the father sent her, correct? He has no jurisdiction.
You're talking about the katan, no? And the 12?
Doesn't matter.
No, because there's no kiddush. If it's like 13, yeah, of course. You're talking about the...
Yeah, even a katana.
If she's not under the father...
Even a katana, the father can, once she's married, she's out. Why, that's what the Torah says. Once she's married, the father loses the jurisdiction over her.
So she cannot marry anymore? Like,
she has to wait until she's an adult and get married.
And then marry, yeah.
Right?
Father cannot.
No. Oh. It's like a father sells his girl Ami Ivriya for 6 years, yeah? He sells her when she's 4. She works for 6 years. She's 10. The father can't sell her again. That's it. That's what Gemara says. It emelemelach. What does this pasuk teach us? Kivin sheyotze sha'achas mishus av. Once she leaves 1 second from the rishus of the father, shuv eini yochel lahafir. The father cannot nullify the vows anymore.
Then we learn Chumash with Rashi, I
don't remember,
we learn it this way?
Yeah.
That's the way to learn it.
Yeah. Now, in Kedushin itself, the girl had Kedushin, but she's still in the father's house. Then the din is the father and the husband must nullify the vow. Both.
We had this before.
Okay. So that's it. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar HaPapa. The Papa said, Afana Namitanina. We also learned this in the Braise. Where do we learn? Haba Al Naira Murasa. If a guy commits adultery with a Kedushin girl, Eina Chayev Achite Naira Besula Murasa V'Ibevesa V'Yom. Okay? Says like this. He's not liable for stoning. When does a guy who's Mizana, remember the Gemara just said before, we started this Gemara, that if the father sends the girl with the shluchim of the husband and she commits adultery, she doesn't get skila, she gets chenek. Even though she didn't have chuppah yet, but she went with the shluchim of the husband. So now the papa says, apananap, Tanita, we also learned that. Where? Because it says, Abo Anay Murasa. If a guy has relations with a Kedushin girl that he gets stoning, Einachal, when does he get stoning? It has to be Naira Psula Murasa Vihibevesa Viha. Only if she's still in the father's house.
Not left.
Once she left the father's house with the Shluchim of the Baal, so then she doesn't get Skila. And he brings the proof, he explains the Mishnah. Bishleim and Naira v'lei begedus. When it says Naira, it means not a begedus. Because a begedus is a different thing. Besula v'lei ba'ula. Psula means not that she was with him. Mu'urasa v'lei nesua. Mu'urasa means only kedusha, not marriage. Right? What does it mean, besa v'yela mutimai? But because the pasuk says all these things. Yeah, the Gemara quoted the pasuk before. Naira murasa acheloi v'ashebevesa viha. Right? So all these things teach us something. Neither teaches, not a begetis, right?
Yeah.
Psula, not a baula. Meirasa, not married. What does Beis Aviyah teach us? That the girl has to be in the father's house to get stoned? When does that be applied to? Lav does it not come. Limute maser av l'shluchei abal. Then if the father gave her over to the shluchim of the baal, right, of the husband, so then, what's the din? The girl gets chenek because it's considered that she's not in the father's house anymore. In other words, the Gemara learns an interesting thing. The Kedushin that you get skila is only if she's a naira, not a begetis. Only if she is psula, not a ba'ula. If she Kedushin, not married. And if she's still in the father's house. That's what he says. So once the father sends her away,
why we have to say that when he says in her father's house, maybe he wants to exclude.
See, that's one minute. We said that before, by the way. A girl who's 13, begetis, right? 12 and a half is begetis. Yeah? A 13-year-old girl had kedushin, and she committed adultery. She's not going to get skila. She's going to get chenek, like a married woman. Because the pasuk says, when do you get skila? It has to be naira, b'sula, mu'urasa, b'vesaviha.
All four.
She had to be a naira under 12 and a half. She had to be psula, a virgin. She had to be kedusha, not marriage. And she has to be vesaviha. Then she gets skila. But once the father lets her go, with the shluchim, she's not going to get skill anymore, she's going to get chenek. Because the condition of the pasuk is not met.
How did we learn that means by turu shluchim, and he says in her father's house, maybe he wants to exclude, and not in the husband's house. How did we learn in between about the shluchim?
Because the pasuk says, beis aviha. We mean once she left, not that she went to the ice cream store. Once she left to the husband's place, once she's not Beis Aviyah anymore, this thing doesn't apply.
Even didn't reach the...
Correct. Even if they didn't get there yet.
But it goes according to the when she committed the act, not necessarily when the court case was.
Correct. When she committed the act. Yeah. So therefore, the Gemara says... What the Gemara said before, that if the guy sends, that's what the Gemara says, Masrav l'shulchei abal, yeah, the beginning of the Gemara we learned today, and she committed adultery, she gets chenek. And the Gemara said, where do we learn that from? Because it says, Beis Aviyah. And this is not Beis Aviyah. And if it's not Beis Aviyah, she's going to get chenek, not skilam. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Amar of Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Afanana mitanina, we also learned it. It says, Abo al eshesish, a guy that commits adultery, kivin shenechnes al rishus abal nesuyin. Once she goes into the rishus of the husband for marriage, afal pishalei nivela, even though he didn't live with her yet, but she started going into the rishus of the husband, Abo aleha l'reza b'chenek. Okay? Which means, it just says, Nichnasa l'rishus abal ba'alma. It just says she went into the husband's rishus. It doesn't say that they had a chuppah. It says she went into the husband's domain. Which means, once she goes with the shluchim of the baal, the shluchim of the baal is like the baal, like the husband. Right? The shluchim are like him. So once the father gave her over to the shluchim of the baal, it's like he gave her over to the husband himself. So therefore the punishment is going to be chenek, like a married woman, not like a single girl. Not like.
But the father has to give it over, right? If she worked by itself,
doesn't
mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything.
It's still connected to the father's house.
Yeah, I said she went for the ice cream. It doesn't do anything. It has to be that he actually, you know, did it. Okay, this is another very interesting Mishnah. How much does a father have to support his kids?
Money-wise?
Yeah, what are you talking about? Okay, but we'll see now where the husband is not, the father is not obligated in. Okay? Okay, it sounds like this. The father does not have to give sustenance to his daughter when he's alive. He doesn't have to feed her. We're not done yet. Zeh medrash, you don't tell this to the government officials yet. Zeh medrash darish shebelozeh ben azay lefnei chacham mekenen biyavna. This is what the Elazar ben Azai learned before the Chachamim in Keren B'Yavna. It was like a vineyard because he used to sit in a semicircle. That's why it's called Keren B'Yavna. Keren B'Yavna is, the Gemara says that there were 10, when the big Bezdin went into Golus, when they left Yerushalayim, they went into 10 places. To Usha, Yavna, a whole bunch of places. The last place the Bezdin 71, ended up in Tveria, Tiberias. The Rambam said when Mashiach comes, the Bezdin is going to meet in Tveria and then go up to the Beis HaMikdash. The big Bezdin 71. But it was called Keren B'Yavna. Okay?
I thought when the rabbi went to the
Roman
general, he said you
could
have Yavna.
Tell me Yavna, because that's where the Bezdin was then.
Yeah.
The big Bezdin was in Yavna. And Keren B'Yavna, it wasn't semicircle. They actually sat in rows, like a vineyard has rows of vines.
Or Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is what he's talking about. So the,
I know. When he said by the Chum, give me Yavna v'chachamel, because that's where the...
So it was there before?
No, in that time, there was in Yavna.
Why would the Roman general do that?
Why would he give it to him?
Yeah.
He liked him.
He was a nice guy.
You mean outside sitting or inside the building?
He was a Lubavitcher.
Huh?
Inside the media?
You mean the Roman general too?
Yeah.
Outside?
No, just...
Mm-hmm.
Yochanan.
Yeah, they sat in the building.
Not in the building, outside in the vineyard.
No. They called it Keren B'Yavna because they sat like a vineyard, rows.
Not in the...
No, they sat in the building. But it was like set up like a vineyard. Okay. This is what he said. What did he say? Habanim Yirshu, the boys inherit, Habanim Yizunu, and the daughters gets fed from the estate. Okay? Now, they bring down a verse like this. In the Ksuba it says, the sons and the wife shall inherit money listed in the Ksuba, and the daughters will be sustained from the husband's property. Okay? Yeah, that's what it says in the Ksuba. So what does it teach us? Ma habonim enyu yorshim ela la'achem isas o'av. What does it say in the Ksuba? That the boys inherit the father, and the girls get supported from the estate. Okay, that's the entire law. When they're sons, the daughters don't inherit. Right? Bottom line in Torah, right? It's the Pasuk in Chumash. If they're sons, the girls don't inherit. But from the obligations of the Ksuba is that the sons inherit and the girls get supported from the estate until they get married. Okay, this is what it says in the Ksuba. I mean, even though it doesn't say it in the Ksuba, that's the Ksuba.
Understand.
Understood Ksuba. Okay? So now it means like this. So the Gemara says, what did Rabbi Elazar ben Azai say? It says in the Ksuba that the Banim Yeshu, the boys inherit the Ksuba, and the Banim Sizuna, the girls get supported from the estate. Now, when do the kids' sons inherit?
The
After the father dies. So from there we learn out, when do the girls get supported? Only after the father dies, not when he's alive.
So he doesn't feel
we like him both things together. The boys inherit, and the girls get supported from the estate.
Doesn't have to.
Okay? So we say, when do the girls get supported? Only when the boys inherit, meaning after the father dies. So Mahabon, in 1 second. Mahabon, just like the sons. The only time they inherit is after the father dies. When do the girls inherit? Only after, when do the girls get fed? Only after the father dies. Okay?
The father doesn't sustain the girls while...
He doesn't have to.
What is it supposed to do?
Huh?
It should go
to court? We'll discuss it.
But the boy has to give
food. Huh?
So the boy, the father has to
the death.
No, the Gemara's question is, now the Gemara's going to ask, the Mishnah doesn't make sense because it says the father doesn't have to support the daughters.
Yeah, but the boys...
Which means, yeah, the boys he does.
Yes.
Well, that's what the... What did the Mishnah say? The father does not have to support his daughters. Which implies the sons he doesn't. So the Gemara asks, v'mzeinus bita hude nechayiv, ha v'mzeinus b'nei chayiv? Well, yeah, it's like... No. So bita nami, so l'chayiv, the daughter is also chayiv the leka. There's not an obligation. Ha mitzvah ikah, but there's a mitzvah. Okay? Meaning like this. The Gemara thought now, meanwhile, the Gemara thought that the sons, the father has an obligation to support. The daughters, it's nice, it's a mitzvah if he does it. But he doesn't have to. Okay? So the Gemara says, Mani Masnisen, who does our Mishnah go like? Okay, we have to learn this whole Gemara because obviously things are going to change. The Gemara says like this. So our Mishnah seems to imply that the sons you must support, and the girls, it's nice to. Mitzvah, I mean, it's nice to support the girls, right? So the Gemara says, if that's the case, who does our Mishnah go like? It can't go not like Reb Meir, not like Reb Yehuda, and not like Reb Yechonim ben Breika. Why? Tanya says in the Braisa like this. Mitzvah lozen es abonis. There's a mitzvah to feed the daughters. Kavochem lebanim. And how much more so the father has to support the sons? Why? To ask a potato because they're learning Torah. Because they're learning Torah, right? So for sure he has to support them, they can continue learning. That's what Rameh holds. So Rameh holds like this. You have to support the girls and definitely the boys. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, no. Mitzvah lozen es habanim. It's a mitzvah to support the sons, kavochem lebanis, and definitely the girls you have to support. Why? Because zilusa. Because for a girl to go begging is much more disgrace.
Disgrace.
Huh? Disgrace. Disgrace for the girls much more than boys.
Improper.
Can you imagine that happened today?
Forget it. Why not?
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, you don't support the daughters?
Well, now
it's
up to
18. No, but in Shulchan Aruch it says the Bezdin beats up the father that doesn't support his kids. Okay.
And Rabbi Yehuda says opposite of the Mishnah, right?
No, our Mishnah, that's what Gemara is saying. Our Mishnah can go according to any opinion.
It's not like Rabbi Yehuda, I see.
Not like a mayor, because what does a mayor say? It's a mitzvah to support the son, daughters, and definitely the sons. Right? Our Mishnah says you have an obligation to support the sons. Rabbi Yehuda says it's a mitzvah to support the son, definitely the daughters. It's again not our Mishnah. Rabbi Yechonim ben Bereika Eimer, Chayv lozen es habanis, la'achem misas avihim. Rabbi Yechonim ben Bereika says like this. There's an obligation to sustain the daughters after the father dies. Okay? Avo b'chay avihim, elu ve'elu einin nezeinim. Both the sons and the daughters don't get supported, even as a mitzvah.
Not like our Mishnah.
None of them is like our Mishnah. Right? In fact, Gemara explains it now. Mani masnisim. E Rab Meir says, Bonim is a mitzvah. But our Mishnah implies the girls, the father doesn't have to obligation, but the boys, he does. Right? The Meir says it's only a mitzvah to support the son, not an obligation. Rabbi Yehuda says, Banim nami mitzvah. Banim are also a mitzvah, meaning not an obligation. Rabbi Yechim ben Breika, he also has a feel of mitzvah nami, like this is not even a mitzvah. Meaning like this, there's mitzvah, there's an obligation, and there's a mitzvah. Right? Obligation means best it can make you do it. Mitzvah means it's a good deed. It's good to do. Now, the Meir says in our Mishnah, in the Braisa, he says like this. You have to, it's a mitzvah to give the daughters and also the sons. Right? That means, both, according to the Meir, sons and daughters are only a mitzvah. Right? The Beit also says, sons and daughters are only a mitzvah. The question is, which one's the Kal Vachomer? But Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda both hold, sons and daughters neither have an obligation, it's only a mitzvah. Right? Rav Yehuda ben Breika says, it's not even a mitzvah. Not sons, not daughters. So the Gemara said, 1 minute. Our Mishnah says, the sons is an obligation to support, and the daughters is a mitzvah. Correct? That's not any opinion. Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir both say sons and daughters are only a mitzvah, not an obligation. Rav Yehuda and Breika says it's not even a mitzvah. So the Gemara's question is, who does our Mishnah go like? Okay, so the Gemara answers like this. Ibai same, you could say it goes according to Rav Meir, you could say it goes according to Rav Yehuda, and it goes, the Gemara answers according to all three. What's the answer? Ibai same, Rav Meir, hachi kamar. Okay? What does our Mishnah say? See, the Gemara just said, a father is not obligated to feed his daughter. Right? Which implies that the son, he is obligated to do. And based on that, the Gemara asks the question, it can't be a Rav Meir, Rav Meir says only a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what our Mishnah means. Ho'av ein achayim zeinus bitevu adin lebnai. Rav Meir holds you're not obligated in either of them, our Mishnah means. Ha mitzvah bibita ika, but there's a mitzvah by the daughter. Kal v'chayme labanim. Why does our Mishnah say you have to support the daughter, not the son? The ha diktani bite. Ha kamashmila teaches us, afilu bite chayvahu deleka. Even a girl, okay, does not study Torah. There's no obligation, but a mitzvah ikah, there's a mitzvah to do it. In other words, like this. We learned in the Mishnah, the Gemara explains that we learned wrong in the Mishnah. When we learned in the Mishnah, it says the father is not obligated to feed his daughter. He's not chayiv. So we said, okay, it's a mitzvah. But the son, that is chayiv. Because why does the Mishnah only say daughter? The Mishnah says, you're not obligated to feed your daughter. It should have said your son and daughter. Right? So the Gemara learns, well, probably what it means is that the son, you are obligated to feed. The girl is a mitzvah and the son, so the Gemara says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Meir holds, son and daughter is only a mitzvah. And he says, that's what our Mishnah means. Why does it say daughter? So why does it say you're not chayiv to feed your daughter if daughter and son are the same? It teaches us, I would think the daughter, there's no mitzvah even, because she's not learning Torah. So you say, no, the Mishnah says, even though you don't have an obligation to feed your daughter, it's still a mitzvah to feed your daughter.
How much more boy?
More so the boy, because they learn Torah, but they're both only mitzvah, not chayiv. Now, the Gemara thought, when our Mishnah says, a father is not chayiv to feed his daughter, the Gemara thought, but a son, you are chayiv. But the Gemara said, Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda don't say that. The Gemara says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. It doesn't mean to say daughter and the son, you have an obligation. Both you don't have an obligation. Both is only a mitzvah. Why does it say daughter? Why does it say you don't have to chiyuv? You don't have an obligation to feed your daughter. It's only a mitzvah. Because even though they don't learn Teda, so I would think you don't even have a mitzvah to support them. So the Mishnah says you still have a mitzvah to support them. By the way, by the bottom line of this, by the way, is you still have to support your kids. Except Rabbi Yehuda ben Breakus. 6. And then the Gemara says, Shulchan Aruch says, cursed is the father that doesn't support them afterwards also. I'll tell you what the difference is, by the way, interesting in practical halacha. If I support my 10-year-old kid, is that tzedakah? If I'm not obligated, and I do it, so I'm giving tzedakah. Can I count as my 10%? And then, because if I'm not obligated, and I'm doing it, it's a whole question then.
Oh, if you're not obligated and you do it, it should be tzedakah.
Right.
But under
whether
six,
it is or not, no, whether under 6 you have to.
Under 6 is not considered tzedakah.
No.
You're obligated.
You know, it's interesting. I'm not talking about the secular system. But in Torah law itself, when there's a divorce, God forbid, between husband and wife, who do the kids go to? You got secular system. Don't pure Torah law that nobody does today, yeah?
Father.
No.
Torah law?
Who do the kids go to?
Well, it depends on the age of the child, right?
Under 6, the kids go to the mother. The Gemara says a boy and girl. Kids under 6 need the mother. Over 6, boys go to the father, girls to the mother. That's how Torah divides. Under 6, they go to the mother.
But the father's
but then when the kid turns 6, go to the father.
But the father still has to support him.
Yeah.
Even though he's living with the mother.
It doesn't happen today, does it?
No, and today we have a secular court. Or, the Gemara says the same thing. He comes. Ha'av ein a chayiv b'mezeinus b'itei. What our Mishnah says like this. The father is not obligated to support his daughter. And definitely not the son. Because remember, the Yehuda holds it's more shame, disgrace for the girl to go collecting than the boy. Ha'mitzah b'bnei ika. But there's a mitzvah by the son, not obligation mitzvah, kavochem elabanis, right? So what's the chiddush bitei? So why does our Mishnah say bitei? Hakamash when the chiddush is that filu bitei chayv aleka, even though it's a disgrace for a girl to go begging, right? The father doesn't have an obligation. The father not obligated to do it. It's only a mitzvah for the father to do it. That's what the Gemara says. Or Yibayi Seima. Another thing you could say, Rabbi Yechim ben Breka can even go according to Rabbi Yechim ben Breka. Rabbi Yechim ben Breka said it's not a mitzvah, not for the boys, not for the girls. Remember, he said, you don't have to support them. Hachi kame. Ein achai b'mzeinus b'itei v'adin l'b'nai. You don't have to support your daughter, you don't have to support your son. Even the mitzvah, there's no mitzvah. Why? I did the banis lachan mises aviyam cheva. But, since after the father dies, then the girls get supported from the estate. Then there's a chiv. Remember the Gemara said before, when the father's alive, he doesn't have to support the kids. But afterwards, then the estate has to support the girls. So it says, Tananame in a chayiv. Okay. But now the Gemara says an interesting thing. Amr Abila Amr Ishlakish Mishim Yabdu Bachanina. Busha Eskina, Usha was another place that the Bezdin was, Yavna, like all these places. In Usha, they made a takana, Sheyu Adam Zan Ubanov as Bneisim Shinktanim. Even though biblically there's no obligation for the father to support his kids, right? Like we said, in Usha, in Usha, they made a takana that the parent, the father, has to support his son and daughter when they're little kids. Usha was in Israel, yeah, but that was one of the 10 Golis, and I told you the best we went to. But here it says, Rashi says, by the way, until they reach puberty. Rashi says, you don't have to support, in Usha made a takon, you have to support your kids. Rashi says, until when? Achayavi Sidus. Until they become Bar Bas Mitzvah. But the Me'iri says, under the age of 6. Until the age of 6. And Taisa says, if they're ktani ktanim, real little infants, everybody says yechayiv to support the kids.
From Reish Lakish, does it mashma that it goes according to which one? Like, when you're reading the takana of Reish Lakish in Usha,
right.
Does it mashma like any of the three that you mentioned, or doesn't look like any of them?
No, you have a chiv, actually. You have to sustain your daughters, kids, when they're young.
It goes like, according to which one, Rabbi Meir, or the, which one?
Huh?
Which one it follows? This is a statement, the takana.
Yeah.
It follows which one of those three that we mentioned.
Oh, which one of the three?
Does it, which one not, does it look like?
It's a whole different takana. It was a later takana.
It can't match one.
No. No. Because the Chum said you have to support your kids. Yeah. And Taisa says, especially the very little kids, right? And whether it's 6 or until they become an adult. But the Gemara asks an interesting question. Iboilu, the question is, halacha kavasi or ain't halacha kavasi? Is the halacha what Rabbi Ilu said? Rabbi Ilu said the name of Reish Lakish, they made a takon in Usha, right? So they asked him, is the halacha, can we rely on that? Is that the halacha that they have to support the kids? He said that in Usha, they made a takon, you have to support the kids. So the Gemara asked a question, is the halacha like that or not?
It's not like our Mishnah. Not the halacha.
Right, but the Gemara asks, is that the halacha lepel? You know, is that the way we paskin today, like Usha, that you have to support the kids? So he says, Toshma, says like this, Kios, Kavaos, El Kamed Rav Yehudam, he says like this, when fathers are not supporting the kids, they would come before Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda would say like this. Amaluhu, Rav Yehuda would say to them like this. Yorud Yalda. The jackal gave birth. Jackal, Rashi explains, is an animal that's cruel to its own kids.
What kind of animal is it?
It's a snake. Rashi Tanin.
A jackal?
Jackal is like a...
I thought it was more like a coyote or something. Coyote,
yeah, but Rashi says... I know, in the English it says jackal, but Rashi says, I mean, tanin, ma'on tanim, I don't know, echzari al-ban. The bottom line is, it's very cruel to its own children. Okay? So he says like this, the jackal gave birth, and they threw the kids on the community. In other words, the beauty would say to them, look, you guys gave birth to kids and you dump them on the community. Very nice. So we allowed to shame. That's what Rabbi Yehuda did. Rabbi Yehuda shamed the parents. you can support...
This is one of the instances that you can shame somebody in public.
No, but the Gemara is saying an interesting thing. What Rashi's saying over here is, what they're saying over here is, that means you can just shame him, you can't force him. In other words, like this, if Usha made a takana, if the city of Beis Din and Usha made a takana,
then it'd be enforceable.
Then it would be enforceable. Now, if these guys, the fathers came to Rabbi Yehuda, if Rabbi Yehuda held that it was enforceable, he should have made them pay. Instead, he just embarrassed them. He called them jackals, that you give birth and you dump your kids on the community. So he embarrassed them, he shamed them. But he wasn't able to actually
enforce
it. Or the Gemara says another thing. When people with the parents that didn't give child support, yeah, with, not in divorces, but came before the chista, he said to them like this, turn over mortar in public, okay, means they announce it, to stand in the crowd, make an announcement, let him get up, and let him say like this, Orva boy b'nei, even a raven wants his children. Even a raven that's not such a good bird. Vahu gavra, and this guy, loy boy b'nei, doesn't want his children. So again, what did Rav Chista do? He didn't enforce it that they have to pay. The only thing he did was he embarrassed them.
It's only the courts that are allowed to embarrass them.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what the Gemara is saying, though, the bottom line is,
no, it's not enforceable.
It's not enforceable. All these people, whether it was Rav Yehuda, Rav Chista, and the Gemara's not done yet, the other people, it was all basically to shame them, but not to, it wasn't enforceable. And the Gemara's Vart of Usha was, it was actually enforceable.
Could it only be enforceable in Usha and not in the other areas? Or could it only be enforceable in that location?
Well,
that,
let's just finish this a second. So Gemara says, "V'orva boy b'nei," a raven wants his kids. It says, "B'nei orav asher lo yukro." We say in davening the b'nei orav that he didn't call. That means he doesn't want his kids. So Gemara answers, "No question. One is white ravens. One is black ravens." When a raven is young in color, it's white. Okay, separate from it. When it becomes black, then it matures, and then it looks like the parents. In other words, like this: mature ravens are black, young ones are white. So when they're white, they don't want them because they don't think it's part of them. Then when they get older, then they do want them. Or kiava also kami the rava, when they came before rava, again the fathers wouldn't support the kids. He would say, "Nichalei de mitaznim b'neich mitzdaka." You want your kids to be sustained from charity? And then again, what did Rava do? He embarrassed the kids, the fathers, but he didn't make them pay. But the Gemara says, "Velei amar," and all this applies only doloy amid, when the father is not wealthy. Then we shame the father for not supporting the kids. Avul amid, but if he's wealthy, Kafin and Le'al Karch, we force him to support his children against his will. Kihad Rava Kafil of Nasim Ben Ami, like Rava forced it if Nasim Ben Ami was wealthy, Va'apik Minei, and he took away from him 400 zuz for tzedakah.
So he wasn't
forced. Only if the guy's rich. In fact, he says like this in summary: a father is legally obligated to support his children until they're six. He has a moral duty to support his minor children 6 years of age or older. If he refuses, various measures are employed by the court. If the father is wealthy, the court coerces him to give charity to his children. If he is not wealthy, the court attempts verbally to shame him, but disgrace him in public, but you can't, make him pay.